Amen. Praise the Lord for the special this morning. Praise the Lord for just the evidence of His presence in this place. I just can't be any more thankful for God's blessings and how God has blessed this church. And when you come into it every service, I think you just sense His presence here in the singing and in the special music. We just praise the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 2, 2 Timothy in chapter 2, Paul's last epistle before his execution is 2 Timothy. And he writes this last letter to Timothy, who would be his successor. And not that that's pressure. Can you imagine following after the Apostle Paul, knowing that you're going to take over much of the responsibility that Paul would have, especially after you've seen what Paul has been through? And even now, when he received this letter, realizing that this would be the last letter before he is executed, I think understanding that will give us a little more insight into what we'll be reading this morning. If you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who he hath chosen him to be a soldier. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we do love you and thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you've made available to each one that's here. And the fact that they're here, they have taken advantage of that opportunity and they're in church this morning. And I pray, God, just because of that, that you'd bless each one that's here. Pray that, God, you would open up their hearts and their minds to receive what you have for them today. I know you have a blessing in store for each one if they would just open up to receive it. I pray, God, that you would work in our midst once again. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Verse 3. There's so much here that we could preach on and understanding Paul's desire to be a help to young Timothy and understanding all what's going to be taking place. And of course, we know this is much more than just Paul's letter to Timothy. This is the very words of God for all of God's people. In verse 3, he says, thou therefore, understanding all that Timothy would understand at this point, and he says this, endure hardness. Endure hardness. Paul's last letter would include this very important thought for not only Timothy, but for every believer of this New Testament church age, including, I believe, this last generation. The life that we have on planet Earth after the fall of Adam, we look back and how God prepared everything, all of creation was prepared to be a blessing to man. God created man in his own image and his own likeness. He created him to live forever. And he created him with an ability to enjoy the blessings of God. And God created everything to be a blessing. That was before the fall. But after the fall, God has never advertised a life of ease. It's never been advertised by God to be a soft life. Even some people get that misconception. When I get saved, life is going to be filled with roses. God's going to meet every need that I have. There's never going to be a time that I'm going to have to go through trials and sufferings and on and on and on and on. And that's not the way it is. Since the fall of man, that's never been advertised in the Scriptures. Now, we have promises of God, and those promises are precious, and we hold on to those. Matter of fact, we'll be preaching on those tonight as we're studying the five last things in the book of Revelation. One of those, and the next one to look at, is the last promise of God. And I thank God for the promises, and I claim those, that He'll never leave me nor forsake me, that I have everlasting life. That whatever comes into my life, I know that God has a purpose and a plan. And we could go on and on and on. And those promises are a blessing. But God has never promised a life of ease. Or if you will, a soft life. We look at Old Testament Israel as an example for us. And there's so many things there as we study the children of Israel in the Old Testament, the Bible stories and those biblical principles that are found just over and over again and every day and every experience that God has recorded in the Scriptures, those biblical principles to learn from. But from the Old Testament Israel, they became slaves in Egypt. Not a soft life. Didn't mean that God did not love them. Didn't mean that God was not looking to be a blessing to them and God did not have blessings in store for them. It meant that God had a purpose for them becoming slaves in Egypt, because if they had never become slaves in Egypt, they would never have left Egypt and they would have never made it to the promised land. They didn't understand all that, but it was not ease. It was not a soft life for the nation of Israel. In Egypt, they became slaves and had taskmasters over them. I wonder what they were thinking. God, have you forsaken us? After God delivered them from Egyptian bondage, they were 40 years wandering around in a desert wilderness. Not a soft life for 40 years. Living in the desert. Now, God's promises were there, and they had the evidence of God over them, and they had their needs met time and time again, but it was not a soft life. Again, when they finally made it to the promised land, they had a lot of surprises. There was a lot of battles. There was a lot of things taking place even in the promised land. And after a period of time, they were actually even taken into captivity out of the promised land. Once again, became slaves and in captive. Not a soft life. The New Testament scriptures, ushered in by John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been studying the life of John the Baptist on Wednesday night. It's been a tremendous study, practical application after practical application. John was beheaded. Not a soft life. Your choice servant. None greater than John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You let the world cut his head off? We studied the purpose for that, and it's a tremendous purpose. What an example, what a message that God had for us. And Paul's standing firm on preaching of the Word of God. Not a soft life. Jesus, the very Son of God, was crucified. Not a soft life. All the apostles. If we would look at the apostles, the 12 apostles especially, that were to take over the ministry that Jesus had given to them as Jesus established the church, and they were to go out and represent Him. And every one of the apostles suffered horrendously. Peter was actually crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy enough to be crucified as Christ was crucified. And one after the other, they suffered and were become martyrs. And John exiled on the island of Patmos. And we look back over that. These were the 12 apostles. Didn't have a soft life. Christ's church. Scattered abroad. Christ's church has continued to be persecuted for some 2,000 years now. Hardness. Hardness. Now, we have to realize we can make it harder than what it needs to be. Israel made it harder in the Old Testament than what it had to be. As we look back over the test of time and we see God's children, we look at the New Testament and we even look in our own lives and we look at the church today, and many times we make it harder than what it has to be, but we have never been, God has never advertised a soft life. We live on a sin-cursed planet Earth. Reality, we live on a sin curse. God said, cursed is the ground because of the sin. We live in a sin-cursed body. We are born with this sin nature that is so ugly, so evil, that if left to ourselves, we'll follow in a path that Satan will take us. And we have a powerful adversary whose main goal is to devour us on a daily basis. That's reality. Sin-cursed world, sin-cursed body, and an adversary that's whole intent and desire is to devour us spiritually. Can I tell you that helps me to better understand what Paul was saying to Timothy? Endure hardness. We'll face hardness. But also know this, as we face hardness, it can be the most rewarding. The Christian life can be the most rewarding. It can be the most blessed. It can be the best life to have the privilege to live. You look back on any of those that lived in the Old Testament time. You look back on the lives of any of those that looked to God, and they will tell you today, if you could interview them, they would tell you today, as we look to serve the Lord, no, we had battles and we had different things, and it was not a soft life, but as we served God, there was such blessings in store. It was the best life that we could have lived when we was living in the will of God. There's nothing like it. We had an opportunity to fellowship with a Creator God. We had Him working in our lives. We had Him directing us. We had our needs met in miraculous ways. Hardness, but it can be the most rewarding. It could be the most blessed. It could be the best life to have the privilege to live this side of heaven. But in order to experience these blessings, we'll have to endure. You don't experience the blessings when you fail to endure. When you fail to keep every thought where it needs to be. When you fail to do what God would have you to do and handle things the way that God would have you to handle things. And no matter what, don't lose faith. You don't experience those blessings. It doesn't seem like the best life. You'll not have the joy of the Lord in the midst of the hardness if you don't endure. The one thing that Paul would be able to share with Timothy concerning his own life was that even though he had went through all the different things, and we don't have time to go into all what Paul went into, we'll read a little bit in just a minute, but the main thing was Timothy was able to experience the fact that no matter what happened to Paul, no matter what he had to go through, Paul endured and kept the faith, fought a good fight. He's writing to Timothy. Timothy, you've chosen Christ. Not a soft life. But you've chosen it. No one forced you to receive Christ as your Savior. You understood what it was. You understood that Jesus Christ Himself suffered and died for you. And He saved your soul. He delivered you from a place of eternal damnation. He's given to you a place for eternal blessings in heaven. Know, Timothy, that this is not a soft life, and serving Christ is not a soft life. Never been advertised that way. It is a hard life. It's a blessed life if you simply endure those hardness. Endure. To continue in the same state without perishing. To last. To remain. To abide. To bear without sinking under the pressure. I love Webster's definition of the word endure. And there's much more, but that helps us to understand what that's going to take in. You see, hard life. Hardness, endure hardness. As we live the Christian life, we will have to face temptations. Which if you study the nation of Israel, and you'll study all the way every servant of the Lord that had hardness, they were tempted not to endure. They were tempted to give up. They were tempted to go with the flow, whatever it might have been. But they were tempted. And those that overcame the temptations and endured the hardness that they had to face experienced blessings. And those that did not, and they gave in to temptations, experienced ruin and judgment. In James in chapter 1 and verse 12, let me just read it to you. Write it down. You want to go back there and study that later on. But James in chapter 1 and verse 12, it says this. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Can I tell you that it's helping us understand, Christian, you're going to face temptations. And if you endure those temptations, if you do what's right in the midst of those, and you turn away from those temptations, and you overcome those temptations, blessed is that man that endureth temptations. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We fight being tempted by the world. We fight being tempted by the flesh. And we fight being tempted by the devil. The world, the flesh, the enemy of the believer. There's no doubt about that. But they all begin with the temptation for us to turn away from God's will. Ultimately, that's what Satan is looking. He knows that he cannot devour us unless we choose to turn away from faith and God's will for our lives. Back over with me to 2 Timothy, because that's what Timothy will tell, or Paul will tell Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, very well-known passage of Scripture, but let's put it in perspective with what Paul is saying. Endure hardness. And as we endure hardness, one of the things that's going to bring about hardness and what is hard for us to endure is the temptations of this life, the temptations of the flesh, the temptations that the world offers all around us, and the temptations ultimately that Satan is working in our lives. And so Paul says here, I charge thee, chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. These are what's going to help us to overcome those temptations. It's going to help the people to overcome the temptations. It's going to help them to understand there's a right way and a wrong way to handle things. And you preach it, you preach the Bible, you preach the word of God, for the time will come when they will not endure. Endure is that word again. Connecting that endure hardness with temptations. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. That's what the world wants to do today, turn the Bible into just fables. And it's the eternal word of God. Can I tell you that the Bible tells us that we all have sins that so easily besets us in Hebrews 12:1. If we're going to endure temptations, we must limit our exposure to those temptations. And strengthen your stand against them. Especially the sin that so easily besets us. Everyone here ought to know the sin that so easily besets you. Satan knows it. And all you have to do is look back over your life. What has Satan used more than anything else to get me away from the doctrines of Christ? What has Satan used more than anything else to blind me to what thus saith the Lord and get me to yield to the temptation of what I want to do? What the world wants me to do, and what Satan is ultimately working in my life to get me away from God and away from the words of God, away from the church, to be able to, outside of that, devour me. So you look back over your life, what has that been? What sin has that been? And sometimes only you know it, but you will know it. If you don't want to overcome it, you'll try to excuse it away over and over again, because you'll want to go back to it over and over again. And Satan will continue to tempt you with that very sin that so easily besets you. And if you never overcome that sin, you'll never accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. And if you will, Satan will use that over and over again to limit you from the blessings of God and the joy of the Lord and the peace that passes all understanding. You might and you might not know what your spouse's sin that so easily besets them are. Sometimes it's good to be able to discuss that and say, no, that's something that you're going to have to help me with, because this is something that I have proven over and over again. I need help with it. Who better to help you than the spouse that God's brought into your life? Accountability. Who better to help you than spiritual leaders that God has brought into your life, like parents, and accountability? A pastor in a church, accountability. Amen. Praise the Lord for those that God will bring into our lives that can help us to overcome these temptations so that I might endure hardness. And I won't, as I'm going through a trial and I'm going through a hard time, I will not be allowed temptations to take me away from the will of God for my life. We will have to face temptations. You need to limit your exposure to them. Those that have problems with alcohol, I would say that you should not eat in a restaurant that serves alcohol. Is that sin? Not for most people, but if that puts you in a place of temptation, then you should not expose yourself to that temptation. If whatever other sin that might be your weakness or whatever it is that Satan has proven, listen to me, stay away from things that are going to expose that temptation, going to put you in a place of temptation where you're not able to overcome that on your own, or you're more apt to yield to it. Listen to me. Stay away from that. Ask God to help deliver you from those temptations. And if you're going to have to face that, because we go out into the world and we face different things in the world, if you know that you're going to have to be around rock music, if that's something that your workplace and you can't limit that, and you know you're going to have to be around it, if you're going to have to be around immodest apparel and it's going to kind of affect your thinking concerning that, whenever you know that you cannot stay away from that, that you're forced into a situation, then strengthen your stand against it before you're placed into that place of temptation. Know what the Bible says. Understand why it's sin. Continue to remind yourself why you know that it's sin. Continue to remind yourself, memorize those scriptures, so that when Satan brings that temptation to you, you're able to quote scriptures back to him, and you're going to say, I'm strong enough. I'm not going to overcome. I am not going to yield to that, because I'm going to endure that temptation. Some people have a problem with overeating. If I would let myself, I would have a problem with overeating. So if you're trying to overcome the sin of gluttony, can I tell you? Stay away from smorgasbords. Stay away from all you can eat. Why? Because the temptation is too great. Come on, I've just paid the... I've got to get my money's worth. I know they offer steak and shrimp and lobster and meatloaf and all that. I got to try it all. And I don't even have to pay for the dessert. How can I pass up free dessert? Come on. If we go into an all-you-can-eat, listen to me, a lot of times that's more temptation than I'm able to overcome. Stay away from it. No one says you have to go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Stay away from them. Know that if I go, I'm going to eat more than I should, so I'm not going to go. If you're invited to go and somebody's paying the bill, then prepare yourself when you go as far as what you're going to eat ahead of time. I know the temptation's going to be there. I'm not even going to go to the dessert side. I'm not even going to go look at it, because if I go look at it, I can't resist. So before you ever walk into that all-you-can-eat buffet, you've already determined, I am preparing myself to have blinders on concerning that dessert side. And even some of the other things that I know I shouldn't be, I'm just going to look at the salad bar and think, what a great salad bar. Everything that I could ever want is really on this salad. You'd convince yourself, amen? You prepare yourself for it. Temptations are going to come. It's part of the hardness of this life. God allows them. I'm looking forward to heaven. The thing I'm looking forward to heaven about more than anything else, I'm not going to have a sin nature. I'm not going to have to tell myself no. One of the hardest things to do is tell yourself no. But can I tell you that only you can tell yourself no many times? And when that spirit of Satan is working in this world and the lust of this flesh and the lust of the eyes, it's going to try to convince you to say yes. One of the hardest things that you will ever have to do is to learn as a parent, when your little girls come up and say something to you, you know, and want something, especially grandbabies, and I know mom and dad doesn't want them to have it. And I know it's probably not good for them. But, you know, excuse, 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 before you know it, you give it to them. To say no. To say no. You need to be ready to do that every day of your life. Because the temptations are going to come. You're going to face hardness. You're going to find temptations hard to overcome, hard to say no to. But you endure. You say no. Because God says it's not what a Christian should do. Because the doctrines of the Word of God says fornication is sin. Because what God says, this is not the lifestyle that He's going to bless, and I desire the blessings of God. Endure hardness, temptations. We'll also face trials. Example after example in God's Word concerning trials. 2 Corinthians. We'll not have time to go there, but Paul, telling everything that he had to go through. Timothy would know it. Timothy would know that Paul was left out, abandoned, I mean, had to shipwreck, where he was just floating in the middle of the night wondering, God, have you forgotten me? Why am I out here? Left for dead after being stoned. When those rocks were coming, Paul would have thought, can't you protect me from this? Why do I have to experience such pain and agony? Paul felt every one of those rocks, every one of those stones that hit his body. Paul actually physically died. And yet, God raised him up. And the very next day went back to do this ministry God called him to do. But he had to endure his mind, his thoughts. In the middle of the night when everything seemed against him and just seemed like God had forsaken him and my prayers don't even seem to be getting past the ceiling of the room I'm in. Where are you, God? And have I not been serving you? Why is this happening? What's going on? Endure. You endure those times by looking at your faith, looking at God's promises, and claiming those promises in the middle of the night, as Paul would have done. 1 Peter chapter 4. Almost finished here, but I'll get a hold of this, because hardness is part of the life of the Christian. And God would have us to endure hardness. As we endure hardness, we open ourselves up to the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, the blessings that are associated in the Christian life. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, God says, I love you. But think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. I I wonder if that Paul, thinking strange things, why in the world am I being stoned? Why am I being left out here? Why shipwreck? Why all the different things? But rejoice. I'm supposed to rejoice when I'm getting stoned. I'm supposed to rejoice when I'm left out here in the middle of the night and floating, not knowing if I'm going to live or die. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Just know that. Know that, there's a purpose for this. God is working something in the midst here. God's not allowing me to go through this without some purpose in mind. And ultimately, at some point or other, I will experience the joy of knowing why. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. If you're experiencing this as you're serving God, on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. As long as you know that I am living by the word of God, I'm enduring this, I'm staying faithful to God. Listen to me, there is glory involved in that. Because you know that God is being glorified through it. He has a purpose for it. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Because then you're bringing it on yourself. You're making the Christian life harder than what it has to be. And you're not going to be find any joy in that. And you're not going to have any peace in that. And you're not going to be able to experience the grace of God there. You're bringing it upon yourself. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody, or in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, that's enduring. No matter what you're faced with, no matter what the temptation, no matter what the trial, I am going to endure. Enduring is saying, I'm going to stay where God wants me to stay. I'm going to stay where God's put me. I'm going to keep the faith. Because I know if I'm keeping the faith and living as God wants me to live, if I'm enduring this and I'm going through that, I'm suffering as a Christian. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Isn't that good? Don't make it harder. The Christian life is a hard life. We're going to have to endure hardness. Never been promised to be soft, but don't make it harder than what it needs to be. The source of the believer's strength. Look back with me. We're done. We're closing here. We will face hardness in this life. We are to endure. How are we to do this? Verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Stay focused on Christ. Stay as close to Him as you can be. Amen. The source of the believer's strength to endure is only found in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God's strength is all-powerful and all-sufficient. We tap into it through grace. And grace only comes by Christ Jesus. Without Him, you'll never endure. You won't be able to endure. But when you tap into His grace, and you stay focused on His will and His ways, you can endure. Seek after Him and His grace, and His grace will be sufficient to get us through. In Psalms in chapter 34, and I'll close with this. Psalms chapter 34, great psalm. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, and seek peace and pursue it. Endure, if you will. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as to be of a contrite spirit. Look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. There's hardness. Of the righteous. It's a hard life. Never promised a soft life. There's going to be battles to fight. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But know this. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. If you just endure. Paul's message to Timothy, one of the greatest messages that Paul could have left Timothy. One of the greatest thoughts that you and I can have today. Endure hardness. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Endure. Are you enduring? Are you staying close to the Word of God? Are you rehearsing His will and His ways in your heart and your mind? If you're not doing that, you'll not endure. The time will come and it's here. You'll be led astray, seeking an easier so-called Christian life to live. Endure hardness. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. I pray right now, God, you know exactly how you spoke to each one that's here, and you know what kind of decisions ought to be made right now. There's someone here that's lost. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that they would see their need to come to this altar and let someone take a Bible and share with them your plan of salvation, that they would leave here saved and on the way to glory. There's Christians here, Lord, who might be right on the verge of being devoured by giving in to temptations, by not keeping the faith in the midst of trials. Help them right now to see their need, to draw upon your strength, to look to you and endure. Work in our midst. Bless down this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.